And trying to find just the right modifiers to describe the historic night for the Republican Party in Arkansas is difficult. Blockbuster might be the proper term. To help us place these midterm elections in perspective is Roby Brock, the owner and publisher of the website TalkBusiness.net. Roby, does blockbuster seem fitting when talking about GOP gains in Arkansas last night?
Well, I don't know if blockbuster, that's not a bad one. I do think unprecedented is a big one, a big adjective to use there in terms of the gains that we are seeing across the board for Republicans. It was definitely an historic night, and I honestly think that even the results may have exceeded Republicans' wildest dreams.
Well, let's start with a race the Republicans did not win. That's the race for governor. Mike Beebe easily won re-election, but his coattails did not extend very far down the ballot.
They really didn't. It was a huge win for Mike Beebe, though. I mean, he nearly lapped Jim Keat, his GOP challenger, and I believe Jim Lindahl, the Green Party nominee, may not have gotten 3% of the vote, which he needed to help the Green Party qualify for the ballot next time around. So it was just an overwhelming, convincing, dominating victory for Mike Beebe. But as you indicated, it really did not extend to other parts of the Democratic ticket.
Republicans won all seven of the contested state Senate races, picked up 16 seats in the Arkansas House. This will be, since Reconstruction, the largest number of state Republican legislators.
Yeah, we're going to have 20 Democrats, 15 Republicans in the state Senate, so that's a pretty close margin. You're going to have 56 Democrats and 44 Republicans in the House of Representatives, which is not a big margin not a big gap for the Democrats either. And Mike Beebe will get to govern in that type of legislative environment. So it is going to be a new day up at the state legislature in terms of how policy is set and how they conduct their business. It will be a very, very fascinating session to watch to see how if we see business as usual or if we see a different approach to state government. It's going to definitely be it's going to be new territory.
Well, most observers mentioned that during Mike Beebe's first term, he was one of the more effective governors in relation to getting legislation that he wanted passed when he wanted. He was very effective in dealing with the legislature. It will be interesting to see now with something that comes close to a split House and split Senate, if he'll still have that ability.
I think he will. He's a master of the legislative process, owing to all of the years that he served in the state Senate. So, I mean, he's completely capable of handling this challenge. The other thing I think that the signal that will be sent is the Republicans, by and large, ran on a less government, less taxes kind of message at all levels. What that translates to is kind of anybody's guess. They were pretty vague promises there. I do think it says that you're not going to see any effort at all to raise taxes. I don't think that appetite was there for the Democrats anyway in terms of at the state level of raising any taxes. As a matter of fact, I think Mike Beebe will work pretty hard to try to get more taken off of the food tax, and he'll find some Republican support for that without any conflict. It's when you get to some of the other issues that may come up in this next legislative session, there is going to be a new look at the way highway spending is done in this state. There is going to be a new look at where we are placing some of our spending priorities. There's going to be definitely a big issue on shoring up the unemployment trust fund, which has an over $300 million liability and debt to the federal government. Those are areas where I think Mike Beebe is going to have to work exceptionally hard to build consensus between Democrats and Republicans. Those will be some of the big issues to watch.
Dustin McDaniel was reelected, Martha Shafter and Charlie Daniels, also Democrats elected. But the other three constitutional offices, by all accounts, when the counting is done, will be held by Republicans. Do you think the GOP's a little bit disappointed that they didn't have someone running for every constitutional office on the ballot?
Oh, I think that there will be some serious kicking themselves in the backside for not fielding more candidates, because I think that those candidates would have been vulnerable too, although it would have been a little bit different running against some incumbents versus these open seats that the Republicans did win. But it would have definitely made for some competitive races, and And sure, I think that they will be second-guessing the fact that they did not field somebody for some of those other races. And here's the interesting reason why is, as you noted, if these trends hold up, we're going to see three statewide constitutional officers be Republicans and four will be Democrats. Majority party status in this state is determined by who has the majority of constitutional officers. And so Democrats, by a very slim majority of 4-3, are going to hold that majority party status. And when you're talking about redistricting, when you're talking about filling election commission spots, which are set by the majority party versus the minority, that is a huge, huge factor that you want working in your favor. Republicans could have taken that over this year.
2 years ago, the Republican Party in Arkansas didn't have someone running for U.S. Senate, didn't have anybody holding a constitutional office, only had John Bozeman in the 3rd District. 2 years later, my things have changed. What happened?
Well, and 2 years from now, it could all change back or change in another shape, fashion, or form. I think that what we saw happen here in Arkansas was very much a reflection of frustration with the federal government and the Obama administration and the democratically held Congress. I think people felt that things went way too far, too fast with some of the things that Democrats felt they had an agenda to implement. And I think the other factor that we've talked about a lot and also contributed is the economy. When people are not satisfied with their job situation, they take out their frustration on their elected officials and the party in power, and the party in power happened to be Democrats. So I think we saw kind of a twofold perfect storm for the Republicans and imperfect storm for the Democrats in the economy and the fact that the issues that the federal government's dealt with over the past year, the stimulus, the TARP bill, the health care reform, financial regulatory reform, all of that, I think, frustrated people. Whether these measures were rightly or wrongly enacted, I think that the perception was definitely conveyed that it was too far, too fast. The American people and the Arkansas people bought that message.
Finally, the polling that you and J. Martha Hendricks College did for Talk Business, all summer, all fall, it was showing that John Bozeman and Tim Griffin and the other Republicans, most of the other Republicans running, had big, sizable leads, and that all came to the fore.
Yeah, I'm really I'm pleased. I talked with Dr. Barth last night about that, and with the exception of Mike Beebe, which we showed him leading consistently through it, but we did not see him leading or winning with a nearly 2-1 margin. I think a lot of that expanded in the last 10 days, 2 weeks of the campaign, too, as you saw him ratchet up his paid media, and you saw Jim Keefe fall a little bit behind without implementing much of a paid message or paid advertising strategy. But yeah, I mean, we kind of saw some of this tsunami coming, and you look at polls to kind of give you trend lines and to give you a detection of what's going on with the voters. You don't pick those polls and those numbers and say that's how it's going to turn out on election day. You just use them to give you a gauge of what some of the underlying sentiment and currents are out there. And I think we saw that pretty convincingly. We saw that Mike Ross was fairly safe in the 4th and that Mike Beebe was pretty comfortable in the governor's race. But we did see also Steve Womack with a big lead. We saw Tim Griffin with a sizable lead in the 2nd District. We saw Rick Crawford with a surprisingly big lead over in the 1st. And all of that stuff held up and came to fruition.
And, of course, you'll be continuing to follow this on the website today and in the days to come?
We will be doing a lot of post-election analysis as we kind of sift through these numbers and detect some different things that may not have happened. And there will be some interesting analysis coming out over the next few days for sure.
Roby Bronk is the owner and publisher of TalkBusiness.net. Roby, as always, thanks for your time.
Good to be with you, Kyle.